Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Sweet Pea and this is Sweet Discussions. Tonight we're going to be talking about April Fool's World of Suggestions. Once again, this is Blog Talk and I am with All Poetry, one of the world's largest poetry groups on the internet. And inside of All Poetry you will find wrapped in a warm, sweet roll, team of voices. I want to thank Deb for having that group. That's a wonderful group of poets, literates, and all those fun people that want to talk to you and write poetry, talk about poetry and all those fun things. Tonight on my beautiful show right now, I believe I have Miss Pretty Bird. Maybe not. And I have 1111 who's on with me.
It must be me.
Oh, it's Raconteur. I thought you were Pretty Bird. I'm not used to calling on Skype. You threw me for a loop there, Rack.
Yeah, well, I guess I'm just a fool.
Oh, you're never my fool. You are so far from my fool. You are my hero, my sweetheart, my darling, my man that says happy birthday to me. Duh. Good morning and good night, and you make my day every day. So how are you, darling?
I'm good.
Good. That's kind of how I feel. I have had a headache all day. I don't know what's up. I've had nobody play April Fool's joke on me today, so I'm very happy. It's been a kind of a quiet night.
They're holding it. You're going to get hit all at once.
I know. I'm hoping not. I hope that's not going to be the case. I hope it's going to be nice and quiet and, you know, one of those beautiful evenings. Because, like I said, I've had a headache all day. I woke up with one. It's been crazy. It's been insane. Ugh.
Yeah.
So are you into the whole April Fool's thing?
I used to be, you know, just because, you know, I like to be a bit of a smartass and, you know, it's kind of expected of me. So if I didn't do it, people just kind of keep waiting for the other shoe to drop. So by not doing it, it was even worse sometimes. But, you know, I used to do things like my favorite one. I recorded my father's outgoing message, and I called him up and I played it back onto his voicemail, and he spent the week trying to figure out what was wrong with his answering machine that it kept playing his outgoing message when he's trying to play back his messages. So that was fun.
I never could come up with those. One of my favorite April Fool's jokes is the April Fool's jokes between Burger King and McDonald's. And they usually do it almost every year or every other year or something like that. And they do it in conjunction with each other. And it's when, like, one April Fool's year, Burger King had the Big Mac on their menu and McDonald's had the Whopper on their menu, which I thought was hilarious. I mean, they've done really weird things like that, or they've put out advertisements of their different sandwiches and stuff, and it was really funny. There's just... Here's one of the silly jokes I have for tonight. Why was the donkey annoying his friends?
Why was the donkey annoying his friends?
It was April Mule's Day.
Oh, my goodness.
I pulled one of you.
You have to buy shoes then, right?
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah, that is funny.
I heard UPS and FedEx were going to merge.
Oh, no. And what would that be? I'm waiting for this. Oh, and he dropped. Oh, Brack and Tor, you have to call back because you can't leave me hanging like that. You can't say that and not end the joke. So I know Rack and Tor is going to call back. He has to call back. There's nothing else that he can possibly do. If I don't have Rack and Tor, I'm lost. Oh, that's awful not to have a joke from Rack and Tor. So we're going to wait for him to call back because I know that he will. There's nothing like that. That was awful. Poor Rack. So let's look into the origins of it. Best pranks to play on your parents. I think that is some of the great things to do is, you know, what to do, why kids play pranks. I'm looking at some of those pranks that have been played on parents. Where did it go? I lost it. Okay, I'm sorry. We're going to talk about how April Fools got started. We have to thank the British for that. It was started as a for... It has just, sorry, the origins of April Fool's Day is debated, but its history covers centuries of pranks, from hijinks to gags on public radio. And you guys are going to have to excuse me because I have a fire alarm going off in my house, and I really hope it's not one of my kids being stupid. Live radio, and I have a fire alarm on April Fool's going off. Great. Okay, now it's over. That was odd. I apologize. Okay. Well, this is insane. Okay. Yeah. I have a fire alarm going off at my house. And it's not an April Fool's joke. This is crazy. Yeah. Maybe we have it fixed. Maybe we don't. I am so sorry. It's actually kind of funny. Maybe? Yeah. Okay. We're working on it. Okay. Hopefully that's right. Okay. I am fine. I promise everyone that I am fine. I'm just trying to figure out how to shut off my fire alarm. It's like the biggest April Fool's joke ever going on during my radio show. Hopefully it is done. This is crazy. Insane. And right now I've got nobody in my studio right now because Blog Talk is just telling everybody the phones are busy and nobody can get in. So I am having just the greatest time. All right. My fire alarm's going off. My not working. And we're going to have a great show. All right, so here we go. Oh, breathe, sweet pea, breathe. Okay, not a problem. Let's get back to 4th of July. Not a problem. Let's get back to April Fool's Day because obviously I'm about to ready to have the biggest one I'm going to have here on my show. So Sweet Discussion is going to talk to herself or talk to you and have a lot of fun. And thank you, Frank. You guys are funny. We got some of this stuff out. Thank you for asking, Frank. I am good. Things are wonderful. I am going to get myself together, take a deep breath, and get into some of these poems about April Fools, because I think they're hilarious. You guys, please keep trying to call in. Let's see if I can get the studio working. I am going to, yeah, this is nuts, him turning all the poems into Pig Latin. Oh. Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. That's kind of funny. What I am going to do, Pig Latin, is load up some poems and get this going. Obviously, we're going to start with my Pig Latin poem because that's going to be great. Put that on the board there. If anybody wants to try to read the Pig Latin, they're more than happy. So we have the Pig Latin. Maybe I should try to read that first. No, I don't think I should because there's no way I could do it. So this is a Pharmaceutical Man. We'll see how that works. All right. Neighbors hover on the edges of sidewalk count their dollars and listen to jingle jangles of the pharmaceutical man in his van drive down ebony streets. Set up to the window, read the menu of ludicrous 16-letter blurs. Not a price listed for his cost is more than hers. Prescriptions scribbled on pads or flew in front for the net as red tape slowed the tick-tock as pharmaceutical dude is a spy that reports the pills he puts in our hands. Hippocratic oath is a lie in ink as politicians clutch a doctor's career in their teeth. Capitol Hill shouts orders for pretend wars in a battle, and we are the real casualties. Johnny didn't get his inhaler. $70 was too steep. Inhalers were $10 for two, the EPA deemed. Hazardous for the ozone. Why not clean the air they breathe? Cancer, heart, kidneys, or brain pills are all left on the truck. Not enough cash. Sorry if you die. Time to accept your time is up. We just collect the profits, not count the bodies we leave in the dust. The pharmaceutical man waves as we drive toward the next street, leaving us weeping to ponder if the family will eat. So, is that the ultimate April Fools? On us, on them, what's going on? So, you know, there's a lot of questions about who's fooling who and what's fooling us. So that was kind of the thought of our discussion tonight, but I don't think that's going to be happening. So what I'm going to say to anybody that's listening or what's out there, we're going to switch things up tonight since I am being absolutely April Fooled by everybody on the planet, to include my own home. If you're out there, if you're listening, and you're part of All Poetry, why don't we do this? Why don't you throw a poem up on my board? I will read it, and we will do open poetry tonight. Because obviously, this is going to be the April Fool's joke of the night. So I'm going to start putting this on the board. So, studio is playing a joke with me. So I am going to read the poems people post on this board. For the next hour, or until the studio gets six. So start posting on the Team of Voices board. April Fools. Bye, Wayne. I love you. So this is what's going to happen. I can't get people in the studio. People can't get in to see me. Oh, wait. I got a couple of people. Let's try. Deb, did you get in?
I got in, but did you look at your poems? Hun, we can't read poetry tonight.
Actually, if you look at them really quickly, there is an English translation. You just have to flip it over.
The man's crazy.
He does.
I thought I was in.
It is crazy.
I'm looking at him. I'm like, what the hell?
He did provide us an English translation button, but my calls keep dropping.
Yes.
I can't get people back in. Well, hold on. I got 512 in, too. Hello, 512.
Hello there, sweet.
Oh, you got in, too.
Hello?
So, hello. Hello.
Oh.
Are you there, Frank?
Yes. Yes, are you not happy to see me?
I am happy to see you. I'm so excited to see you. But if you stay with me, I'm going to be very happy because everybody keeps dropping.
Oh, I see.
Oh, wait, here comes Rack.
I've been listening.
I know. Rack, you're back.
Yeah, stupid blog talk.
Oh, I know, but people keep dropping, so stay with me as long as you can. I'm just switching to open poetry. we're just going to go with it. I went with open poetry. Everything was going wrong. I had my fire alarm went off in my house. I don't know why. All of a sudden, I have a fire drill. The studio wasn't letting anybody in. I know. Thank you for asking if I was okay. I'm just like, what is going on tonight? And I was telling Rack, no one has pranked me. I've had no problems on April Fool's. It's been the quietest little April Fool's I've had. And then everything went crazy. Like, the April Fool's gods went, okay, yeah, okay. And literally, everybody dropped out of the studio. My fire alarm went off. I'm like, this is insane. I was just punished by the April Fool's gods. Okay, Deb's back. Okay, Deb, you're back.
Yeah, here I am. Don't know for how long, but here I am.
Oh, my God.
Stay with us,
Deb. And Kevin changed everything to Pig Latin.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it's
funny because when I logged in today, usually there's some kind of message, like the one year he said, we've decided to go offline and go back to doing everything handwritten. So every year he has some crazy thing. So when I logged on and it just said, you know, I'm happy you remember or whatever the hell it said, I was like, well, that's kind of lame. No jokes this year. And then when I got finished writing, I come in and it's like, oh, my gosh, even the front page, every single poem on the place was switched to Pig Latin. That's hysterical. I got to give him this one.
It is hysterical. Yeah, okay, so I, like I'm saying, I don't know if you heard me, but I was saying nothing had happened to me on April Fool's, nothing. I had a perfect day, no April Fool's jokes, nothing. And literally within the last 22 minutes, I lost everybody in the studio. My fire alarm went off in my house like crazy. I didn't know what the hell was going on. It's just going off and off. Frank is on the board. Are you okay? Do you need help? What's going on? You know, helping me along. Everything suddenly turns to Pig Latin, and I'm like trying to make sure I'm on live radio going, I'm sorry, this is crazy. I'm trying to keep and I have dead air here and there, and then I just went, okay, April Fool's gods. Here we are. We're just going to do open poetry. This is what we're doing. So, yeah, that's been the last first 20 minutes of the show. Amazing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So here we go. Oh, my goodness. Hello, welcome to open poetry. Of course, if you did write for today, I'll have you read your poems. Because it is April Fool's, and that's just what happened. And I wish I could say I planned all that to be April Fool's, but I didn't.
Well, how do you want to label the studio? I could put mine in for you.
Just put yours in.
Just stick it in? Okay.
Just
I think I can manage
stick
that.
Stick it in. Good. As a blonde guy, just feel around and stick it in there. Frank, while he's doing that, you want to read yours? All right, darling.
If you want, I could go ahead and do it.
Okay.
Do you have it on the board?
No, I got to go run and get it. Are you kidding? I have nothing going on right now.
All right. Well, let me go find it then. Just bear with me.
Oh, I got it. I got it, hon. I was just discombobulated.
Right.
I'm not discombobulated anymore.
Are you sure?
It is. No, I'm not sure, but it is on the board for you.
Oh, all right. Do you want me to do it in Pig Latin? Which I'll give it a start there, or you want me to... Well, it seems
I would really like you just to read it. Yeah.
All right. I thought I'd give it a start. Well, first of all, I took from my poem is more of the power of suggestion. So I know it's April Fool's Day, but I was more drawn with that concept there. And I created this poem here, which is basically a criticism here. It's called The Power of the Profiteer, and it goes like this. Nothing is more simplistic to do than to deceive a wretch. If nothing is more vile than to profit from that duplicity. The world we live in is the exact image of that of which we have endorsed as our superficial creation of carbon copy. A world of megastars, junkies, and serial killers to glorify, and a world of ordinary persons lost in the folds of anonymity who no one gives a damn. Con men and politicians use their campaigns to convince they are different than their predecessors, but their words are as cunning as their tongues. Magic pills and recreational drugs peddled by the advent of technology and its machinations. People behaving like the masses in the Colosseum, waging bets on the fruition of the spoils of the sport, and the thespians of the theatre play out the roles of our pitiless society and romantic obsession for drama. The pursuit of an abstract beauty that can only be ascertained by the art of aesthetic illusions. Some of us are born naturally of a certain composition, but others are bred to be a perfect model to be revered on the glamorous catwalk. Some of us are taught to respect those that are different than us, whilst others are imposed the doctrine of solitary. There are many persons that believe that which they assume to be truthful is correct, but they are misguided by the preachers of publicity. What separates a fool from a genius is the fact that a fool is stubbornly emotional, but a genius is intellectually a thinker. A fool believes in the power of the profiteer. The genius believes in the power of the truth. Thus, the errant fool will blindly follow the presumptuous profiteer. In the end, the joke is on him in the pub. Hello?
April Fool's, Frank.
Oh, there we go.
I don't know who's up there. No, you're still there.
Is it just us?
I don't know. I'm imagining she must have dropped. I kind of doubt that she'd be playing that like a practical joke. Her and Deb both must have dropped, I guess. Wow. I was somewhat listening. I heard some beautiful thoughts there, in what you were reading, but unfortunately I wasn't focusing entirely on it, trying to upload my stupid thing, and now my thing's giving me a hard time over here.
The
idea. We were just assuming that.
Yeah, the studio kicked me out, but I got to hear most of your poem. I missed the last, like, three stanzas, but I read them. I love this. I love the different aspects of how you look at people and how they are, and, like, the thespians or how people are taught.
Oh, thespians.
Magic pills and recreation drugs peddled by the advent of technology and its machinists. Or, sorry, that's not what that says. But the thespians, the pursuit of abstract beauty and born naturally or respect. The power of the profiteer. The genius believes in the power of truth. Thus, the errant fool will blindly follow the presumptions profiteer. In the end, the joke is on him. I just thought this was really deep, and I thought this was very truthful about human nature and how some people really think, and they forget about the humanity behind what is profit and what is genius and what is not. And there is that quick fix and that I can do this and I can chase that dollar, very snake oil thought process. And I found it like one of those little nibbles or things that you should keep in your brain when you're ever out or when that snake oil is something you should be with.
Yeah.
No, thank you very much. I thought it's basically a critique on the way society. I know you put some. I know the theme here was. I saw those magic pills that you had on there. Well, actually, not magic pills, but the pills that you had on your on the screen there on the. I think it was in the chat room. I think it was 2 days ago. And I said to myself, well, you know, I know that one was, you asked for one was April 4th, which was more satire. Then you had the power of suggestion. So I took that, the power of suggestion, into compose this piece here. And it's really a critique of what our society is and how we are so influenced by technology, and we let ourselves just get involved and just get lost, submerged in that, or emerge in that world of the profiteer who just profits from our misery, profits from our imperfections, profits from everything. So this is what this poem is really about those out there who are profiting from our miseries and profiting from everything that is, that of which we want, we don't have, that which we aspire, we can't have. So there is a moral to this piece in that sense. But I did go that way. The power of suggestion was the one I was inspired more for this piece.
I absolutely agree. I think, like I said, it's that nugget you really need to think about when people are trying to sell you something that's too good to be true. Deb, your thoughts?
I think she might have gotten kicked out when you did. Because, you know, when you got kicked out, it was total – it was just me and Frank. So, you know. You
no,
found your way
that's
back.
That's okay.
That hurt my heart. Oh, no.
It's got to be the area because, you know, I don't know that she's that far from me. But I just – when I get kicked out like that, I try and call back and I get a message, oh, circuits are busy now. Please try to call again later.
She hears me. We just don't hear you. She hears us, but we don't hear her. Aw.
That is the same thing I had the other day. I'm not sure if you were aware of that. I had a similar situation to some extent with my phone, which I could hear. You were very audible. I'm not you, but I mean, the other day, the show, and I had problems. I couldn't, no one could hear me. And I've had that happen. I don't know why. I thought it was just me, but apparently it does, it seems to be others.
Yeah, when my phone glitches like that and I hear that, it's almost like a pause, and then but it doesn't leave me on the line so that I can continue to listen. I get kicked out.
I don't know what's going
on
tonight.
Well, I bounced her in and out of the green room. I put her on hold. Deb, say something. Maybe I'll hear you now. Nope. I hate that. Well, maybe you can try calling back
okay,
in. I don't.
Please.
I don't have any answers.
That's okay.
Okay.
We can proceed.
Yes. All right. Rec, did you get yours in or not?
Actually, the one that I wanted to give you doesn't have an audio, but I can post the link on the board if you want.
Okay.
It's on topic for being a fool, but it's not an April fool. It's more of a romantic fool, and well, I guess that'll be self-evident when you read it.
Okay. Okay. The fool. Oh, I got to put it in English because I can't read pig Latin.
Ig pay Latin like. Holy hey,
yes.
It's Shay.
Yeah, I'm not going there. It's from the Hurt Locker, and you know it's going to hurt me.
No.
I am an idiot. The Fool by Rackentor. I'm an idiot. Living an empty life, writing in verse about my heartbreak and strife. If one more person tells me I am special or hope you find what you're looking for, I'll probably puke
before slamming the door. Platitudes don't sustain me. Grieving is pointless because I honestly tried. If I'm lucky, I'll drown in the tears that I've cried. For the briefest of moments, we had a good time. I was a fool to believe your heart could ever be mine. Lock me up, lest I try again. My reach exceeds my grasp, and Cupid's a comedian. Aww. That's beautiful. That is really beautiful. I love that. Frank, your thoughts?
Oh, someone who has dealt with the tarot cards here to some certain extent. I don't know him well, but I've had them done them before. This has given me one of these elements here of just wondering. I like the way you began with, I'm an idiot, living an empty life, writing a verse about my heartbreak and strife. It's very pointed there, my friend. Then you go on to say, if one person tells me I'm special, hope you find what you're looking for, I'll probably do. There's a bit of satire, but then you go on, you say something that's even more poignant. You say, platitudes don't sustain me. Grieving is pointless because I honestly tried. There is a sense of admission there, of an experience there, a very, very grievous one, I would say, in the sense of what you experienced and experimented. But I love the way you ended here. You say, lock me up, at least I try again. My reach exceeds my grasp, and Cupid's a comedian. I like the satire there. But I did find this piece to have, although it has a sarcastic theme there, it also has the typical, I would say, the typical sentiments here of you, Rack. Just delving within yourself here. You always bring a sincerity to your pieces here, you know. And I do find it refreshing when you, the way you write, the way you emulate your thoughts and your emotions, and you combine them into your pieces here. And although I said this piece is a bit of satire, I did find, I went beyond the layers of the satire and found as well a certain measure of you as well.
Thanks, Frank.
Awesome. Are you back, Deb?
I think she could hear, but her problem was that she couldn't.
No, I'm
all
back in, so it's open. Mm. All right, well, I'm going to throw Stephen up, and then I'm going to play his audio. Thank you, Deb. I greatly appreciate that. So here comes Stephen.
I wrote this about probably the biggest prankster to ever grace the face of the earth, Mr. Andy Kaufman. And I call this, Andy, Did You Hear? Always more important to amuse yourself. Audience laughter, just a bonus. Money no object. Get milk and cookies. Load them all up on a bus. Tired of playing the famous foreign guy? Read The Great Gatsby instead. Possible first Elvis impersonator. Did it even before he was dead. Wrestling with controversy was all in the plan. Smacked by Jerry Lawler. Taste the back of his hand. But could your biggest prank still be kissed by your breath? Tell me, did you hear about this one? Andy faked his own death. End poem.
Wow. I don't know. I didn't know that. I don't even know if it's true. Now I'm wondering.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Wow, now I'm wondering. I hate when people do that. Is that April Fool's, or is it true, or is it not true? Stephen! I hate that. It's a great poem. And Andy Kaufman was definitely somebody that was always
controversial and always, but he was a genius comedian. Oh my God, he had, you really had to get him or you really didn't get him at all. Because he was very subtle and he was very, you know, dry and he was very, I mean, I can't explain Andy Kaufman. He was who he was. Now you've got me wondering about his death. Oh, Stephen, is it April Fool's? Is it not? Did he? Didn't he? You got me, Steve. You got me big. Raconteur, your thoughts?
I thought this is absolutely brilliant. I really loved the whole thing. He's got Andy's humor wrapped up in the story with a whole bunch of actual things that Andy did. You know, of wrestling with controversy, and then he brings up the Jerry Lawler incident. You know, people still don't know if that was true, if he really was injured, or if, you know, if that was all, you know, an act. I mean, the whole book, when he goes into character, he doesn't break character. And, you know, bringing up the fact that, you know, he was, you know, the tortured artist, and he was so fed up with the way people dogged him that he would fake his death just to be left alone. It sounds like something that he would do. So, you know, that was a brilliant ending. And, you know, the whole thing was wonderfully rhymed out. And the story was fantastic and, you know, factual and everything else. It really captured the essence of it. And just, I can't say enough. I was really impressed with this one, Stephen. It's probably my favorite one that you've done, that I've heard anyway.
Yeah, absolutely love this. And Frank, any comments?
Well, I have to admit, I don't know much about him. I do know something of what I've read and what I've heard. And I would agree with Rack here. I mean, obviously, Stephen brings up interesting tidbits here of information and parts of his life and his career. And there's certain things there that I have to say as well that are a bit leave you pondering there. And more importantly, that about faking his own death, which I did hear a reference to that. So there is so much of this poem here, although it does have Stephen's own style here. He leaves us wondering there of what if and what could have been or what happened or did not. So there's a lot of elements here, a little bit storytelling here. And above all, I thought the poem really gave a lot of those elements of this man's career.
That it did. It was really a great poem. I mean, like I said, if you know Andy, that's Andy in a poem. Great stanzas, great storytelling. And Deb, thanks for the article. Now maybe I won't be so confused, even though I doubt it.
Yeah. Deb put up something. I'm not sure if you saw it.
Mm-hmm.
She put something on the chat about Andy Kaufman.
Mm-hmm. Next, I'm going to put up Gerald Green and play his audio.
Thank you very much.
Very excited. Amadeus is going to join now. Why not? Had everybody else here. Mm-hmm. There's that. All right. Let us play Carol.
April Fool's Day, written and read by Gerald Green. April 1st is not a time for timid folk, expecting it to be like any other day, filled with dull routine, events of no exception, having no surprise or veiled deception. No, this is where frustrated people find release for unexpressed emotion. Time and routine build each day like dental plaque clinging to a tooth from an ever-present snack. So join the fun with pranks, bad jokes, and play on words, requiring everyone to stay alert for 24 hours of challenges, mostly harmless, designed to lighten burdens and to lower stress. End poem.
I love I love this man. He just cracks me up. It's just like, okay, hold on. Don't take it so seriously. Life is not that serious. Just enjoy it. You know, don't be so uptight. It's supposed to relax your stress. Don't go there. Just have fun. And I think that's great because he's stating that. He's like, hey, we're all right. It's time for laughter. You've had enough crap all the so far, you know. It's tax season. It's all that. Today's April Fool's. Have fun. And I love the image, like dental plaque clinging to a tooth from an ever-present snack. That's excellent. That is such imagery. Like, frustrated people, find your release. Get those unexpressed emotions out. Because, you know, stick up your rear, or you like dental plaque clinging to a tooth. I'm not sure which one I like better. But, yeah, great write. Frank, your thoughts?
So, I was in the middle of writing some, but I have to agree with Gerald. First of all, he has ability, as I've always said, to be able to write any theme here, any subject here. And this is no exception here. I thought, although it's more of a brevity to me, I like the way he accentuates the notion here of what April Fool means. And I like the message of the piece here and how we should not take everything so serious, in particular when it comes to times of which are so fun to us. And the notion here of sort of going the fun with pranks, bad jokes, and play on words. Those three things there are what have epitomized to me what April Fool's Day, if I understood what it means or understand, that in itself is what explains to me what he's saying here in this piece here. So I thought it was a remarkable piece there, and I thought, as always, he always rises up to the challenge.
Absolutely. And back in tour, your thoughts?
As a smartass, I appreciate someone that understands that, you know, some people just, you know, need to be a smartass every once in a while. If nobody got the joke, you know, people like me would have black eyes all the time. So, I appreciate his message, like, you know, just relax, you know, don't be so serious. Sometimes, you know, some people take the joke too far, or sometimes, you know, some people just aren't in the mood to be ribbed, and, you know, they need to remember every once in a while, you know, other people are blowing off steam too. So that was a cool poem.
Absolutely. And Frank, can I get you to read Wayne's poem for me?
All right, just bear with me. All right, do you have it up?
Okay.
Oh, there we go.
Just bear with me.
All right, well, I have to get up. It's for some reason that these always come up in this pick lat, and so I have to click on the English. All right.
Mm-hmm.
this is the piece here. It's called, I'm not sure if you want me to do it like him in that quick pace, or do you want me to do it in just my normal voice, or what?
Are you going to read it in pig Latin?
Well, no, I mean, I don't think anyone would understand, but I meant, do you want me to read it like Wayne reads it in his quick...
I understood that. I was saying if you were going to read it in pig Latin, I want you to read slower. Never mind.
Oh, you want me to read it in pig Latin?
No.
I don't know if I can...
No.
No, read it like Frank reads.
All right. Well, here we go. Just bear with me. I just lost my piece here to my ear, so just 1 second. All right. This is a piece here, and it's by our good friend Wayne. It's called It's Not My Fault, and it goes like this. I wish to be thinner so I can drink more beer. I wish I could be happier after I bitched all year. I wish I was healthier so I could eat more Big Macs. I wish I could be smarter without knowing the facts. I wish I could be stronger. I would get out of this chair. I wish people would care about me, but I don't care. I wish people wouldn't blame me. Not my fault. I wish I had money. Look at all this junk I bought. There is no sense getting out of bed. There is no plan. I wish people would help me, but I can't lend a hand. Why should I listen? I already know about that. It's in my genes. That's the reason I'm fat. I can't believe I feel bad. I haven't done anything today. Why don't people listen? Why don't they care what I say? I'm going to do better. I think I'll stop next week. Life is terrible. Why does my life look so bleak in the poem?
Well, there you go. That's amazing. Isn't that the truth? Everything is everybody else's fault, and we are what we are because nobody cares, and God forbid we put any effort. This is the, you deserve to give me everything, but I'm not going to lift a finger for it. I love the line, I wish I was skinnier so I could drink or eat more Big Macs. Yeah, that might be why you're having a problem. Or I would be happier after I bitched all year. Maybe that could be a problem. I know that feeling. I wish I could be happier after I bitched all year. Because, man, I have complained and bitched and yawned. But I tell you what, I want to sit here and say, well, I've had a reason. Because let me tell you, recovering from what I've recovered from has hurt. It's hurt. It's been painful. It's been awful. But I never stopped, and I still don't stop, and I still have days where I'm tired, and I don't want to go on the treadmill, and I don't want to do any exercise, and I don't want to move. But if I didn't, I'd be dead. So
yeah.
I have to have done what I've done, but I definitely have bitched about it all the way. So I understand that, but I'm healthier and happier. So you can bitch and complain and still be a little happier. But I think you have to have a reason, not just to be bitchy and you know, not do anything. So that's my favorite line. I wish I could be happier. I think I wish I was further ahead, but I've done what I've done. And still, I think I'm still going to bitch for another, according to my doctor, probably another 6-8 more months. So that's the way it is.
Good luck there.
What do you think, Frank? You read it.
I for some reason, I just envision myself there reading that, like Wayne. I can envision myself as Wayne. And looking at that poor gent over there and the sofa there, somewhat I could have been Wayne to a certain extent. If not, he pretty much has an awesome hangover by now, I would assume. I like as well the satire here. I thought it was an incredible piece of superb wit and ingenuity, and I thought, you know, we're so used to his rhyming, but I go beyond that. I go to the essence of the piece here, and I love the way he begins with "I wish to be thinner," then he goes on to the next stanza, "I wish I could be stronger." There's always the what if, I wish this, I wish that. There's so many elements here of satire here, but there is also a serious nature here reflected here in the sense that, you know, we all would strive, we all want certain things, you know, and as you said before, we blame others or other things for our faults or our failures, and so be it. But we are in the end reconciled when we think afterwards of the things we've done, at least most of us do, of what we did wrong and how we could do things better. So this piece here offers that introspection as well, although it does seem as it doesn't, but to me it does.
Yep. And Rack?
Yeah, I love this. This is great, Wayne. I like the thought, you know, it's along the lines of if wishes were fishes, we'd all live in the sea idea. But, you know, at the same time, he's pointing out, you know, you get off your ass and do something about it. It's not going to happen on its own, you know. And, you know, it makes total sense. It's total Wayne. I could almost hear, even though Frank read it at the end, I could hear him go, end.
No, I thought I too had that as well. I actually envisioned him. He's somewhat of a haunting figure, no, Wayne.
I can kind of do impersonations, but for whatever reason, I can't get Wayne down. I can't read like him. Well,
give it a try.
I can't.
Give it a stab.
I don't think
time.
Anybody can.
No, you
can't. Why?
Oh, my God. Deb, when she read it, the last time she read his poem, she did it in Wayne's voice. Holy, it was great. She
oh, I didn't hear
Wayne.
That.
Oh, my God. Yeah, she could do a great Wayne. She could
I'm
do a great Wayne.
Her. I'm definitely going to make sure I'm going to ask if she can read one of when I hear from her, I'm going to ask her to do one.
Oh yeah, she does a great Wayne. She's got the cadence down perfectly.
Oh, that would be entertaining.
I was envious. I was envious because, you know, like I said, I can hear things, you know, and you know, selectively in the voice of whatever, and I know one of my limitations and whatnot, but you know, that's not something that I know I can do, but you know.
Yeah. The other thing is Wayne has he has a southern accent as well, so it would be somewhat challenging, no?
Well, that's not. Yeah, that's
funny,
not so much.
So like Rack. You're from up north, no? So I'm assuming is that easy for you? Would that be easy then?
Well, yeah. I because there's certain words you could hear the lilt of them and the tone of them, or at least I can hear it in my head. That the hard part isn't so much getting the vocal down as much as it is the cadence and the speed of it. You know, it's easy to put on like Hebrew accent or something like that. You know, Jackie Mason, when he does that voice, I mean, you can hear him. He talks like this, and then he gets this thing in his voice, and you will know it's what he's talking about because you hear it in his voice. You know, he does it, you could kind of hone in on it, but you know, it's not the same. It's more primitive, you know. It's not that. It's the speed that you say it. You know, if you do it differently, it sounds right.
Yeah, it is.
Anyway,
true. So that was a great impression there. That impression you get of Jack Gleason, it was classic.
I don't do impressions.
He was another, and he was also another incredible comedian. He was very proud that he never repeated a joke. If you ever watched a Jackie Mason performance, he was proud that he would never repeat a joke. So even if you saw him back to back, it was always a different show.
All right, I'm going to read Tila. So excited. Gila. And I'm not going to read it in Pig Latin either. I'm going to read it in English.
I was going to have.
Yeah. The Ultimate Guide to Waking Up Early by Tilo, but actually it's not an April Fool's Day. It's definitely 365 Fool's Day, making money, fooling people by making them Sorry, I should have my glasses on. That's better. It's definitely 365 Fool's Day, making money, fooling people by making them addictive and restless. Some people are so addictive, they eat pills like drinking water. This, in turn, makes you more sicker, fatigue, pain, a restless anxiety. Just feel like you want to sleep or not get up because it makes you completely drowsy and helpless. It's sad and nobody to care for them. I agree, some are genuine to where people really need help with pills, which can help you and protect you from various diseases. Wake up from that long sleep. Trash those unwanted stuff, which is hurting and not doing good. And home. Oh, very much. Very good advice, great poem, great structure on that too. And it's true, and that's the whole April Fool's part of it, is what is suggested and what is good. I mean, there's so many vitamins and so many supplements, and all of them say, you know, not reviewed by board of this or not reviewed by board of that. I mean, what is right? What is wrong? How do we know? And if it makes one person feel great, I mean, more power to them.
But I get scared when you get these people that are like, oh, cancer can be cured by mindfulness. Just think it away.
Eat a banana.
Think it away.
Yeah.
It'll be gone. Yeah. I mean, that scares
not
the crap
about
out of me.
I know that's protein.
You eat a banana, you'll be fine.
I didn't know you could get healed from a banana. I know you get protein, but I didn't know that.
I mean, there's all
these,
you know, things out there. And I mean, granted, maybe somebody was cured by a banana. I don't know.
Well,
and I know there are people
that would be a first.
I don't know. And there are people that truly believe and have been, you know, the power of suggestion or the placebo works for them, and but I don't know that word. I don't know if that would ever work for me. And then you do have people that are hooked on it because somebody said, "Try this; it'll work for you." And then it does work for them, but they need the higher and higher doses of it to continue to work for them. So it's such a circle of, you know, that who's the fool? Who's really getting fooled by it? Are the pharmaceuticals, are we, or you know, what's the answer? And, of course, I don't believe there is an answer. I believe it's trial and error because we're the human race. One works for one doesn't always work for another because we're the human race and we're so very different. And that's what's great about being the human race. So, Rack, your thoughts.
Yeah, the idea of the suggestions of it, it's really an interesting, but like you say, one of the most relevant thoughts on that I heard, I think it was a doctor that had said it, you know, things like vitamins, the body can only absorb so much. So if you overdo it, you're really making expensive urine. And, you know, with that thought in mind, it's, you know, you have to find that balance between the, you know, well, this helps this and this helps that, and, well, you know, the actual science of, you know, what actually happens, you know, the keto diets and things like that, you know, how effective they can be. But, you know, there are actual, you know, the scientific limits of what they are. You could base it on a fact, but if you get the fact wrong, then you know, you're totally throwing the idea out the window. So it's an interesting thought. Tila did a great job putting that out there.
Yeah. And Frank, your thoughts?
Well, I have to agree with what Rock says. I mean, first of all, if I can just say something here. I think there is a thing, and when we talk about addiction, for example, then there's a thing of the power of the mind. I don't equate it with a miraculous, I would say, healing or being cured, by no means. I mean, I practice yoga, I practice meditation. It's not for my purpose of healing myself to the sense where I'm going to just say I'm completely healed from any pain. But pain is something we have to learn. Suffering is a part of humanity. We have to learn from that. But what I make a difference there is in that dichotomy is the addiction there when it comes to pills, when it comes to things as well, what you mentioned here, things that we are suggested to follow, not just medication, but also techniques or foreign types of beliefs that perhaps they think that people suggest for curious, and so be it. So this poem here has a lot of elements there of a dichotomy here of what should be done and what should not be done, and the good and bad. But in the end, I think we have to be the ones to eventually accept whether we want to believe in this or not, we want to take this or not. You know, we have to come to the decision what's good for us in the end. And I thought this poem just brought a reflection on all that.
And I would agree with the, like I learned about meditation and yoga over this whole heart surgery and all of that. I've learned how to calm myself and do all of that. And I will tell you, prior to this, I was never able to do that, to slow my mind and to listen to my own heart and do all of that. And I have found a peace in that. And
That's amazing.
That's very different for me, because it was something I would never, ever, I mean, I tried, but I couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. My head would always take over, but it's something I've learned to do because I've had to do it to bring down my stress level, to bring focus in on my breathing, to do, and I find it wonderful. But there are people that take it, you know, to that nth degree. And that's why I think this is like the excessiveness of it, is there are also people that will take antidepressants to where they take one or they take 50 a day. So that's what I'm talking about. We're all so different. Where's that balance? And where's that suggestion? And, you know, obviously there's no right and wrong in any of that, but the power of suggestion and where is it and how is it covered? And there are actually people is it working? Is it not working for you? How do we fall into it? How did we not fall into it? And that's why, you know, I love talking about it, because it fascinates me.
If I can ask really quick, do you find that you condition your mind? Because just the concept of mind, when I do meditation, if I could just be brief, then I try to connect my mind and my body there. Do you find yourself that you've actually reached that point where you can connect your mind to your body or your physicality, even if it's a brief period? Because, you know, no one expects you to be out to meditating 3 hours, you know, or an hour, which is not the purpose for me. I do meditation that can go on, can be brief, from 5, 10, 15 minutes. I don't put time limits on that. Because do you find yourself that when you do this type of, whenever you practice this, that you actually find you're in a condition or in a state where you've reached, where you actually feel your mind and your body are at that moment together, even for that brief time period?
I don't know how to describe that, or if I do what you describe. I just know that I can relax. I can.
That's the thing. I mean,
I can bring my take whatever. Yeah, there's a serenity to it, that I can get to the point where I'm like in a veil, where there's just me and my breathing, and I can listen to my heartbeat, and I can bring down whatever was stressing me, and I'm not shaking, I'm not in any type of high anxiety. I can take that away, and I can just kind of like be in a daydream kind of state, where it's just like white noise in my head, the constant, like, you've got to do this, and you've got to do this, and this is going on, and this is going on, and this is going on. I can just listen to my breath and my heartbeat.
You think it gives you also as well more patience?
I find myself being more patient and more calm than I ever have before.
That's the purpose of mine as well. I dealt with anxiety as well, and I dealt with impatience. And this is why I do. I'm not saying it's a perfect thing. No, it's not a perfect thing. Nothing is perfect. But at least it's something to bond you with for that time period. So I do use it as well and it has helped to moments of being impatient. So it's always good. And I'm glad to hear that from you, sweet. I'm glad to hear that you're finding these techniques or finding this type of relief for you that gives you that serenity. I think all of us need it.
Yeah. It's definitely something I had to do, because I couldn't be in that state without finding a way, you know, other ways to. So mixing that with various medications, I've actually come off of some medications. No. So I'm very happy about that, too.
Yeah, because there's no side effect when you drop the medication.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So keeping my heartbeat at a certain level and doing all that, you know, I would have never thought a year ago that I would ever believe that or been there or anything like that. So that goes past the power of suggestion into a reality of something that works for me.
Yeah, that's good for you. I don't think any of us are prepared.
Mm-mm. No one is prepared for it, nor was I ever prepared for the recovery process, ever.
No. But I'm glad you pulled through it.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, Deb, I have your poem left. I will read it if you are not going to get back into my studio.
I could try and conference her in if you want.
Maybe that'll work. I don't know. Deb, you want to try to get conference in? Maybe.
Well, she hasn't been on the board for 13 minutes.
Yeah, because the block talk is
Oh, there she goes.
Oh, my God, you found a redheaded cow.
<There. laughs> Oh, God. So she...
Is she in?
I've been looking for... I don't know.
No?
She's on the board.
She's on the board. She's not in my studio. But I've been looking for a redheaded cow. And she told me to go ahead and read for her.
She just said...
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited you found the redheaded cow. You don't understand. Because my picture right now is a blonde cow, and I wanted a redhead. So this makes me so happy. It probably makes me more happy than it should be, but it does. Okay, dun, 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 dun. I'll ask
you sure it's not an April Fool's?
No, it's not. This is something I've been looking for. So I'm going to read Deb, and then I'm going to read Lady A, and then we're going to close out the show.
All right.
All right. Let me see. Is every drugstore a potion, just a placebo? With triangle pills for this and oval pills for that, just bring me two candy-coated capsules, stat, mold them into trapezoids that burns body fat. Folks drink fizzy tablets that bubble in water cup, chased down with sugar cue to halt the hiccups. If hacking up a lung, just suck on square cough drops, dissolve red oval lozenges, so the hoarse voice stops. Down round pink tablets to block every sneeze, masking the allergens that trigger a wheeze. Grab gel caps to cool the flames from heartburn, and gulp that liquid cap for gas if the tummy churns. Solid colors and stripes like the billiard balls, hexagon ibuprofen for the ache from falls. Every 8 hours till the throbbing stalls. Men swallow the blue pill to aid in lift, and women take 28 to hamper bundled gifts. Do pharmacists sell little periwinkle caplets served to shrink scumbags into biodegradable pellets? Oh, that's awesome. I wish they would.
Periwinkle.
That's awesome. Yes. Periwinkle tablets.
Yeah,
oh, that's awesome. There's periwinkle in every poem I think that Deb writes. I don't think I can find a poem without it.
Have
somehow,
you seen periwinkle
somehow
tablets?
No. But I haven't seen her them shrink scumbags into biodegradable pellets either, but that would be a great way to do it. Deb, awesome. Awesome, awesome. Love this. and I love the comment on the award she got, too. I just learned more reading this poem than I did after 2 years in medical school. That's a great comment.
I like folks drinking fizzy tablets that bubble up in water, cased down with sugar cubes to halt the hiccup. This is hilarious. And it's true. There's a pill for everything. Everything. Oh, God. I it's a perfect thing. And, you know, do all of them work for everybody? No. Do all of them work for some people? Yes. Are some of them just promises in a pill? I do believe that. I mean, I believe we have our snake oil, just like, you know, the ones they used to drive around in buggies and everything. And, you know, I mean, there used to be actually cocaine and Coca-Cola. You know, we learn and we grow. I don't know if that was a good thing they took it out or not, but it was very popular in its day. Frank, your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought this was a very much creative wit express at its best. There is, I agree, there is so much here. I mean, so many pills out there which at times they seem to be so abundant, overabundant, and in usage to a certain extent, because they are just a repetition of one form or the other with a different Greek name or a Latin name. This poem here really brought a clear reality, you know, a very dire reality as well, although it is humorous in that, of what is what you said before, what goes on in, you know, in our world of today with the usage of pills. And how at times we take them for necessity, and at times we take them because they are more than necessity. They're an obsession. And so I like the dichotomy expressed here, and of course, I mean, this is a rhyming scheme here, which she was very eloquent in that. There, I went through. If you get beyond the information there, you see the way she structured this poem in a rhyming scheme. I thought it was brilliant. I'd be honest with you. I don't really see this much medical reference in a poem. I've never seen. I don't know about you. Have you actually seen a lot of these, what she mentions here, the Lonsange's oval, the allergens and the ibuprofen, which I use from time to time. So this is a very a delightful piece.
Absolutely. And Raconteur.
Yeah, I thought this was brilliant. As someone who doesn't see very well, sometimes I rely on the shapes and the colors of things to identify what they are. And, you know, when someone repeats something, it's like, or they're the same color, I get upset. But, I like the other thing, too. You didn't mention it, really. When the doctor asks you, do you think it's making a difference? It's like, how the hell do I know? You know, the only way to know is to stop. You know, it's like, I don't know.
You're the one that gave it to me, don't you know?
Well, you know, you've got chronic leg pain, so they prescribe this pill for your chronic leg pain. Do you think it's making a difference? I don't know. My leg hurts. It doesn't hurt. The only way to know is to stop taking the pill and then to write down every day it hurts. You know, it's like. Maybe. It's crazy. But, you know, part of it is the routine, I think, that makes the difference. Part of it is the belief in what's happening, too. Like you had mentioned, the power of suggestion, the placebo effect of it. You know, and then, you know, there's other people that, you know, they treat their body like a temple and they don't overindulge some of these. So when they do prescribe something like ibuprofen, it makes a huge difference, and you don't have to go overboard with it and worry about some of the side effects. I don't remember if it's ibuprofen. One of them shuts down your kidneys or has problems with your liver or, you know, it's like you can't take this one or you can't take too much of that one. The NSAIDs, NSAIDs, or I mean, it's crazy. It's really crazy, you know, the parameters for its functionality and the side effects, the way you trade one thing for another. And she talks about the pill that makes you lose weight. That makes me think of, what was it back in the day, Fen-Phen?
Fen-Phen.
That made you lose weight, and you had to say, had the Hershey squirts all day long then.
Ah, it just made you a little jittery.
There was another one. It was.
You just shook a lot. Couldn't hold your coffee.
Tom Arnold and Robin Williams had a story about that. They were supposed to, you know, they were working on a film together or whatever the hell it was. And Robin was like, you know, you want to go on a diet with me? So he's like, yeah, well, let's do this thing. And he prescribed they started doubling down on these Chinese herbs or something. It was like these herbs and something else. And whatever it was, I mean, that's it was one of those things that, like, next thing you know, he's getting checked out for heart problems because of the effect of the herbs on his system. Really crazy stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, the little black beauties of life. The black beauties of the 80s. All right, up there, we have Lady A.
Canada in the house.
Canada in the house. Pig Latin. Thank you, Kevin. That is hilarious, though. That is a great, great April Fool's joke.
Why don't you try reading one of the lines?
No. I don't do imche, myche, bouche.
All right.
I didn't do it in high school. I can't do it in middle school. I didn't do it in grade school. I'm not very good at talking piggy. I don't know why. I just don't. And I would not insult my beautiful lady from Canada, my queen, by ever even putting the slop of a pig on her words. She's a queen. Would not do that to her. Okay, so Lady A brings us fools. Are we being fooled? Pharma, big pharma knows exactly that is true. Rich people getting richer, hell, they ain't no fool. Incredibly, humanity believes in all these pills. Lobbyists make deals behind our backs, pockets lined while we die. Fools we continue to follow mindlessly, often taking pills without knowing why. Others don't know the names of all their meds. Look out, world. The new vaccine will have deadly consequences. Simply do your research. Watch them change the rules. Determine if it's good or bad by comparing them. And now, always be your own advocate. Ask questions so you'll know. Yesterday you followed. Today you'll be the leader and save your life. End poem. Well, I guess being an advocate for your own world is something that's very important. Definitely, I know a lot of people that are very concerned about, you know, how pills are made and what's going on and the science of things. And I truly believe that, you know, you have to be your own advocate and you have to ask questions and you have to go, you know, what is this going to do? What are the side effects? Because sometimes the side effects are worse than what you're going through. Sometimes I would rather write out a virus or write out whatever it is in my body than take the pill because the side effects of the pill are worse than what I'm going through. That's just me personally. And sometimes I wouldn't. I'd be like, I'll take the side effects because I cannot deal with whatever is going on in my body. Absolutely believe that. Again, it's all about that, you know, what are we going to do? We're humans, and we all, some things work and some things don't, and we all have to go there, and what is it? And who is it for? And, you know, having that discussion is just perfect because what one thinks and what another thinks and what works here and what doesn't work here. And it's been a really great night talking to you guys about it. I really, really appreciate it. And, Deb, I appreciate talking to you about it, too, and everybody that's listened. And it's been a great little April Fool's, especially the first half hour. That was fabulous. No, by the way, that's being facetious. Frank, what did you think?
Well, I thought, as with the previous poem, I like the message of this PCA. I love the narrative that was presented. It's relative to our day-to-day world. There is so much of which, I mean, I do admit I don't have. I mean, I know a great amount of medical terminology, great amount of medication and so be it to the medical realm. But there are things, even if you know so much, there are still so many things you don't know about the medical field and things that you have prescribed, things that you take. I took the vaccine. I'm going to take Pfizer again upcoming, I think it's in 2 weeks of that, simply because I made the decision to take it. I don't say I advocate it to the sense where everyone must take it. I think it comes to the decision of what, when it comes to pills as well, medication, what our body feels comfortable, you know, because in the end, you know, what a doctor or a medic prescribe, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're not going to have reactions to it. So it comes to the point where you have to decide in time and with time whether or not a certain medication is good enough for you to continue taking or to take in the first place. So I thought it was a positive message there and very, very much a pondering one as well.
Absolutely. And Raconteur.
Yeah, she's got two beautiful thoughts in this piece that I really, really like. The idea of being your own advocate. And, you know, like you mentioned, asking why. Just because a doctor says, I'm going to put you on this, you know, if you've got, like, multiple symptoms, what is the thing putting you on a dress, you know? Is this one pill going to cover everything, or is it going to be just focused on one symptom? Is it going to, you know, side effects? And more importantly, what would it mean, in, like you said, if I don't take it, is this going to get worse? Is this going to progress? Is this going to eventually go away? You know, it's crazy. And you need, these are things that you need to know, and you need to speak up and ask the questions. You know, there's all kinds of news stories, things about lawsuits about unnecessary testing and doctors being arrested for fraud because they do this, that, and the other thing so that they could do just to charge extra money. You know, you're allowed to refuse that treatment if you decide. If a doctor says, oh, I want to give you an MRI, and you don't like the reasons why they want to give you the MRI, you could tell them, I don't want the MRI, you know. And if you're, like, in an emergency room, sometimes you don't have that you're not coherent enough or you don't realize that, you know, where are you taking me? You know, the doctor scheduled this test for you. Well, he didn't discuss this with me. I'm not going for this test until he tells me what's going on. Well, why does he want to do? Well, you know, diagnostically, this, that, and the other thing. I mean, you could get into an argument with him, but then that goes into the medical treatment and everything else. But, you know, you can't get to that point unless you're your own advocate. You know, it's the point. And, you know, it's a very important one.
Absolutely. All right.
What was that?
All right, guys. Well, I am going to go back to my room. Huh.
So I hit a moo there.
Back into this room. Yeah, she's mooing at me.
All right. I thought it was in the greener pastures there, sweet, in the background.
Yeah, you know.
Yes,
we have completed all our calls.
That's her pet cow. She got rid of the dogs for some cows.
No, I did not. We gave little Remington his first bath today. That was very fun.
So how old is little Remington?
He will be 14 weeks old tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. Yes, he at 14 weeks old, he knows how to sit. He knows how to sit up. He knows how to sit pretty. He knows how to spin. He knows the word down. He knows to get into his kennel when he's told to get into his kennel. He's
quite the little man right now, and he's getting ready to go to his board and train, which is 4 weeks in puppy boot camp here, probably towards the first part of May. He'll go to puppy boot camp for full-on training. Because all my dogs go to puppy boot camp, which means they'll be gone. I don't get to see them. They do full-on puppy boot camp.
What type of dog is he?
He's an Australian Shepherd.
Oh, I see.
So, yeah. But I've had the same trainer for over 20-some-odd years. But, yeah, puppy boot camp is my it keeps me sane. Because I train them to a certain point, and I go get professionally trained, and I pick it back up again. But he's doing really well. He's really pretty smart puppy. I mean, he's definitely picked it up better than Amadeus ever did. And he's sweeter than Mystique was, but he does remind me a lot of my Shadow. He's pretty bright. Shadow was the brightest dog I ever had. So.
Yeah.
That's ironic.
Why?
Shadow, bright. Hello?
Oh, yeah. Okay, never mind. No, what's ironic is I didn't want to get Remington because I was still grieving Shadow. And this dog has so many characteristics of Shadow.
How old was he?
Yeah. How old was Shadow?
Yeah, before he passed away.
He was 14.
Oh, wow. Well.
Yeah. He was my baby dog. But we're going to say goodnight. Thank you. I really appreciate everybody. Thank you for hanging with me, calling back, doing what you had to do. Frank, thank you so much for your concern. I hope everybody enjoyed the first part of this show.
You'll definitely
you,
remember
April
this
Fools.
April Fool's, though. You'll definitely remember this day, won't you?
I certainly will.
And once you recall it even more.
Yeah, I definitely... definitely the most memorable April Fool's craziness I have had in a very long time. Once again, thank you guys. I had a wonderful time tonight. Great discussion on, you know, who's fooling who, and love you guys. I will talk to you again soon. Bye.
Take care, sweetie. Take care, Rack. Always
night,
a pleasure.
Sweet.
Take care, my
night,
friend.
Boy.
Good night.
Bye. Buenas noches. Take care.
Buenas noches. Bye.
Night, Deb. Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.